Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 217. This is part two, the conclusion to You've Got to Have Faith. Today is Sunday, October 23rd, 2011.
I'd like to do a song of great social and political import. It goes like this. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Dialing for dollars is trying to find me. I wait for delivery each day until 3. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? I'm counting on you, Lord. Please don't let me down. Prove that you love me and buy the next round. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? Everybody, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? That's it.
Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's Club is located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you live anywhere in Minnesota, you're living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, or you are disabled with proof, you come to Pastor Paul's Club Monday through Friday between 9:30 and 10:30 to register your household for monthly groceries. Now, you're going to want to bring a picture ID, a current piece of mail, and verify the household members with either medical cards or social security cards. It's that easy. When you get to Pastor Paul's, you're going to see a lot of people, a lot of food. There's food outside that is on the curb. You can help yourself to that. There's bread, usually cases of perishable vegetables. When you get inside, you're going to see Pastor Paul, who's selling food very inexpensively for $1, $2 for a case of vegetables, a case of juice, like that. You're going to see a counter where you're going to register for groceries. So come on over to the counter and just let us know that you are new, and we will get you a form to get you started. You're also going to see all of the food that we give away, lots of perishable foods, lots of frozen foods, free breads, juices. So be prepared to carry a lot of food. Register for Pastor Paul's Club and be sure to ask about the VIP Club. This month is the month of October. Here is the lineup for Pastor Paul's podcast. Don't Faint. Works. You Got to Have Faith. Pray and See. Those are the messages for the month of October. Be sure to join us every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two of Pastor Paul's podcast. You're going to want to go to the show notes, which is at www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find all of the scripture links that Pastor Paul uses within his messages. Have a great month of October. Minnesota right now is absolutely beautiful. God bless you.
I said sometime back, I'll say it again, I think it deserves repeating. If I was to take our people from the mission and the hobo run out to the suburbs, bring them into church, bring them there for a whole month, okay? A whole month. We wouldn't have to worry about money ever again. They'd pay us to stay out of there. Say, here, take whatever you need. Just don't come back in again. Seems like every time you come in, we have to fumigate the place. You hearing that out in the suburbs? Send them cards and letters and send some money down here to this work and stop all this nonsense. Stop talking about faith and this and that. I am so tired. I am so sick. And this movement's been going on so long. And aren't you sick of it? I am. And it seems like every southern bell and every southern voice is on there, isn't it? Brother, you just about moving faith. Yes. Huh? Huh? Well, take all that down south someplace. I don't know where you're from. I mean, go down under someplace. Say amen, somebody. Did you ever notice none of them are up here? These faith preachers are never here in the wintertime at 20 below. No, they're not. They're out there in Anaheim, California. You know what the Word of God says? It says this, and it says that, and it, and amen, everybody's saying amen. And they've all spent all their money going out to these seminars, and the people are starving to death. It is a biggest bunch of hogwash. Hey, I said it, and I'm glad. But when it comes to getting less than a half a cent a pound to put millions of pounds of beef in freezers, where's the faith? Come on now. Come on now. Listening on the radio, come on now, stop. Don't pull out all your scriptures. I don't want to do something. A lot of them use that song, "Do Nothing Till You Hear From Me." You see, now, well, I didn't get the voice yet. They expect God to talk. I want you to go to work now. It's time. There's a timing in it. Now is the time to go to work. Now means ever present now. And God isn't going to talk to you until you go to work. If somebody was working for me and they weren't doing anything, I wouldn't sit around talking to them, would you? I mean, if we treated our jobs like we treat moving in the kingdom of God, working in the kingdom of God, if we treated our jobs like that, well, where were you? Oh, you're at a faith teaching. Boss, we had to go to Anaheim, California. There was a big faith teaching down there. You treat your job like that? Did your boss, did Jesus tell you people to go on down to Anaheim, California? Or Israel? Did he? Well, everybody else is doing it. I didn't want to be left behind. They're all having fun and stuff. And I like to fellowship. And the accommodations are real good, and it was a real good buy. I know that was a God. It was only $3,017.16. And I knew it was a God because I went down and I got a loan right away for it. It was nothing to it. Very interesting. What did you learn about? Oh, we learned all about faith. What do you know about it? Well, I know without it, it's impossible to please God. But what are you doing about it? Well, I know one thing. I'm going to go to another seminar. That I know. Don't you think that people are taught out? How much do you have to know? You go on your job. The guy says, okay, now I want you're on this assembly line. See, now I want you to take up this screwdriver here, see? And you take the you take this 9/16 bolt here, and you put a washer, and then you put a lock washer on first, and then a flat washer, and then you take this wrench over here, and you ratchet that thing in there. Well, that's all you have to know. That's the first step. And after you learn how to do that real good, we're going to move you up the line here. And we're going to keep moving you up. Well, you know, I would really like to learn how to put this whole thing together right now. Before I even start this thing, I really think I should go to the School of Rocketry and learn all about rockets and liquid fluid, rocketry fluid stuffs and stuff. And I want to learn all about it. Because I want to be the best worker you ever had, boss. Yeah, but I just want you to pick up this 9/16 bolt here, put a lock washer, a flat washer, and put it in that hole right now, okay? Can you do that? Can you go over here and feed your neighbor? Can you give him a loaf of bread or something? Can you just, that's all I want you to do. I don't want you to learn all about everything. Can you just do this one thing? When you teach your children to do things, how would you like if your kid says, "Well, I want to know everything before I tie my shoe, before I go potty by myself. I want to learn why." I'll tell you why. I'm sick of cleaning your diapers. That's why. Now get in there. Huh? Now let's just try. I'm trying to make sense here. And it's the same way with the children of God, see? Here we are, little children of God, and we got to know everything. But I want to know it all first. I want to go to school. I want to know everything. Those praises are so empty. How would you like to have your kid there? "I love you, Mommy. I love you, Mommy." Wouldn't that get sickening after a while? The kid wasn't doing anything, wasn't minding or anything. "But I love you. I love you, the greatest mommy in the whole wide world. Oh, I love you, Mommy. I do, I do, I do, I do. Do, 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 do. I love you." And you're trying to sleep and the kid's on top of you. "I love you." Huh? 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't care how long you praise God. He wants you to do something. Hmm? You love me, kid, if you'll obey me. Now go into your room. It's real nice that you love Mumsy, but go in there. I'm getting sick of you telling me that. Do something and prove it. Right? It's like a kid comes home. "Look, A plus. Oh, Junior, A plus. A plus. Great. Oh, looky he did here. It's just great. Mommy loves you." And this kid doesn't do anything. Okay, now, feed me. And he opens his mouth up, "Feed me, because I got A pluses and I did everything and I blessed you, so now bless me. I claim that you're going to put that food in my mouth because I've been so wonderful to you. I made you look good." Isn't that the way people treat God? "I made you look good, God. How about a few favors here now? Come on now." Not trying to be disrespectful, but I mean, hey, I learned that in faith school. Or they walk boldly into the throne rooms of God and claim it. Hey, I'd be you walk up into up into God's room sometime and walk in there and throw the doors open. "Hey, I claim in the name of Jesus." Huh? And that's what they hear on the radio. Is that right? Am I right? Would you do that? Would your kid do that to you? You'd say, "Who are you, Buster?" All reverence is laid aside for our sham. And so people like to hear that, don't they? They like to hear that. Walk boldly in there and claim it. I walk awful softly when I walk into the... Hey, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Who are you? Are these little gods or something? Come on now. Now I know I'll get some letters on this one. It's all right. Send them. I'll turn the paper in and get some money out of it. Isn't that a whole lot of nonsense? But a man may know something and yet not have faith. I may know a thing and yet not believe it. I mean, how many people really believe things and they go to all the seminars and all the teachings, read the Bible and everything, and they know it, but yet they don't believe it? Why? They haven't tried it yet. And therefore, assent must go with faith. What we know, we must agree with it. And when I read the scriptures and I understand them and receive them, now I have faith. I receive them by doing it. How do you know your kid understood you when you said, go on in and do your bed? Do you understand me? Uh-huh. How do you know he understood that? That he went in and he did his bed. Now you know he fully understands what you said. And how does God know, how does our Father know that we fully understand? Is by our doing it. Well, you didn't understand. I gave you an order and you didn't do it. Isn't there a song like that? You made me do it, I didn't want to do it. No, you got to wholly believe the Bible. You can't half it and believe what you want in half-heartedness. You can't take all the scriptures and all those ones that tickle the ears and leave off all the suffering and all the affliction and all of these things. You can't do it. It isn't reasonable. Is it reasonable? No, it's not reasonable. Well, hey, there is afflictions. You afflict the seat of your pants every time that kid does something wrong. No, you got to know the Word of God, the whole Word of God, and give assent to it. And just appreciate it the way it comes to you. Now, then you got to take the Word of God and take a hold of it and know it's for you. So many people take the Word of God for somebody else. I got a letter sometime back from a fellow, and he had written about the friends of Job. And then he went up to this friend, and God told him to do this and that. But he left out the whole total Word of God. Because the Word of God said in the end that Job was given twice as much as he had before. And he had to pray for his friends. Why? They needed prayer. No, take a hold of the Word of God and believe it's for you and then trust in it. Though did he slay me yet, will I trust him. Now, nobody uses that scripture. That doesn't fill seminars up. No, it doesn't. That doesn't fill them up. People want to hear them cute little paraphrases and things like that. That's what they want to hear. They paid to hear it, and they want to hear it. Now you know out there God wants to richly bless you. You're going to bless God, you're going to tip God. Put some money in there. You make me nervous. Now all this talk, you know what I'm talking about? I'm really tired of hearing it. Is everybody tired enough of hearing all of that? I am tired of hearing it. See, because it isn't the balance in it. There's no affliction, there's no sorrow, there's no loss, it's all win. We win! Well, we win in the end. But there's a battle, the Bible says, and it says that we're fighting a foe. We're in a battle. We don't even mention the battle. They say the battle is already won. It is already won, but you have to get in it. If you believe it, and you believe the Word of God, then you get in it. Right? And you know, yet people, they become liars. How's it going? Praise God. Wonderful. No trials, huh? No, I don't claim them. I see your leg is busted. Oh, that's just a symptom. Now, how did this person die? He died of symptomatitis. Turned all green, dropped off. Okay, right? And then they have to sneak to the doctor's office. Huh? I'm not kidding you. You go in the doctor's office and you see them, they're dressed up, they look like the Lone Ranger. They got dark glasses on. Huh? It's like they've done something wrong. Guy called me up and he says, gee, I don't know. He says, I've been claiming this headache to be gone. I'm just feeling so guilty. It hasn't gone yet. I said, well, I'll pray for you. He said, would you think, I hate to do this. Should I take an aspirin? I said, is this the earth-shaking thing, whether you should take an aspirin or not? I mean, hey, I don't care if you do or not, all right? Now, if you believe that aspirin is going to take care of your headache, then it'll do it, all right? But now we're all scared. Gee, I don't know. Well, I wouldn't show much faith. And the top of your head is lifting up. So then you got to sneak someplace and go have a double Alka-Seltzer on the rocks. Huh? Did you ever do it? Sure you have. You ever do it on the radio? Yes, you have. Right? Oh, my. So we become liars. How's everything going? How are you? Saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, don't get mad about it. And it's so unreal, I don't believe it. You want to get rid of your headache? Forget about yourself. Go on out and do something for somebody else and get blessed. And the blessing will flow over you and the Holy Spirit will flow over you and the headache will go after a week or two maybe, huh? I don't know when it's going to go is what I'm trying to say. I don't care. Long as I haven't got the headache. But I'm not going to make my head the main issue, whether I do or do not take an aspirin. Who cares? There's people starving out there. Cut your head off. If it offends you, cut it off. No, cast yourself upon the promise. See, that's not the life buoy that saves a drowning man. Nor is it, let's say, his belief that says, what a wonderful invention. Isn't this wonderful? A life buoy. And here's sharks all around me out here. And here's this wonderful life buoy out here. Oh, it's so wonderful. What a great invention. No, he's got to grab a hold of it and crawl up on top of it like fast. No, you got to grab a hold of things. You actually have to grab a hold of the plow. You have to get into the work. You have to physically grab a hold of the plow and don't turn back. That'd be like a child being on the 15th floor of a burning building. And he's up there and he's screaming and crying and carrying on. And then there's a strong man down there. He yells, jump! I'll catch you! Now, it's his part of faith to know that the man is even there. Another part of faith is to know that the man is strong. But I believe the very essence of faith is when the boy trusts and drops into this man's arms. actually does it. So the people asked the boy, they said, do you believe? Don't you worry, this is a strong man. He's caught people before from the 30th floor, bigger than you. So people below start to give their testimony. Their testimony. And will provide right there and persuade that child to jump. And so don't hide your testimony. And how do you have a testimony unless you've gone through something? Unless you've taken the plunge. Unless you've taken the jump. Unless you've been in the fiery building. How will you ever know it'll work? Well, I think it'll work. I mean, I've never tried it. But hey, what have you got to lose? Huh? And so it is for you listening on the radio. And I must minister gospel or minister gospel or not minister at all. So it is with sinners not saved. You must know that Christ Jesus died for your sin. And that Christ Jesus is able to save. But most of all, you must now trust Him to be your Savior forever and ever and ever. And don't let anyone tell you different. Once He has you, He'll never let you go. Now you got to really know that He isn't going to drop you. When you take the plunge, when you take the jump, when you leave the fire. That He is going to hold on you and He's never going to ever let you go. Now isn't that the faith that saves? That no matter how rotten you have been in the past, as soon as you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your sins are forgiven and He'll catch you up. And so the message is, and it must be preached in this end time, he that believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved, no matter how many sins. But he then that believeth not on the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter how few his sins, is still damned. Now for the argument of this message. And always we have such small-minded people with us who say, well, where is the logic in all of this? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Get logical. Let me get logical with you. These people love to argue by the hour, don't they? Oh, no, oh, my ministry, I am so sick of looking at these people. I mean, they're all white-lipped and gray in the face. I mean, you know, they spook me. I see them coming up, you know, and they're all spooky, and they're all, oh, man, they're just so afraid they're not saved anymore. And oh, man, you know. They walk up and, oh, golly, is so-and-so saved? Well, he was last week. I don't know about now. He said a swear word, you know. And he's been saying them in his head, steady. Sort of a sick, pale, emaciated type of person. You seen those kind of folks? Walk around, I mean, they got beanies on. They wear these long, corny dresses. They don't wear no makeup. They try to make themselves uglier than sin itself. I mean, you know, and they think they're proving a point. And underneath all of that garb is sin. Did you ever try to be good? Today, I'm going to be good. It's your worst day. It is. Today, I'm not going to raise my voice at the kids. I'm going to be sweet. I'm going to claim them to be the best children. I'm going to pray over them. Lord, I want these children to be little cherubs all day today. I claim, and I claim your peace. And I will not, Lord, I've said it, and I command it to be so in the mighty, I come boldly into the throne room. I'm mad. I'm mad at the devil. I'm commanding this. I'm commanding it in the name of Jesus. I claim it. I command it. I command it! You know what? By the end of the day, you are ready for Anoka State Hospital. Huh? See, because you didn't want to do the whole day in faith. You wanted to claim it all perfect by faith with no trials. The whole day. And all the kids are going to be perfect because you claimed it and you walked boldly into the throne room of God and claimed it. and no one was going to upset you, no way, because you claimed it, and you marked it down, and you put it on the icebox, and you wrote it down. These people are going to change, and this is what I expect out of all of them. And you wrote it all down, and you signed your name to it. You know those people that do that? They've wrecked their iceboxes, sticking these things on there. I'm not kidding you. Say amen, somebody. See, it's not realistic because they think everybody's life is going to be around their claim. And so all these people got to be perfect when they go to work. Hey, this shop, I'm taking over this shop. In the name of Jesus, everybody in here, today there'll be no swearing in here. There'll be no cussing in here. There'll be none of this. None. Hey. And they go in there with a wrong attitude. They go in there with a self-righteous, pukey, stinking rags attitude in there, sanctimonious, tight-lipped, pencil-lipped, their ears drawn back, religious looking, and their Bible under their arm, and they are hell itself walking into there. They are not ordained to God, not one bit. No, do you know what? They are the Pharisees of 1986. And I just got to tell you folks listening on the radio, you are about the most sickening. And you are in for a day of days like you've never had before. Why? Because you tried to play the part of God. Jesus came and he sat with sinners. Do you suppose they said a bad word once in a while? Huh? God was with them. Did he claim that they wouldn't say any bad words? He first loved them when they were still sinners. And we go in there and we can't love them. We're going to claim them because my ears are too sanctimonious. I don't want to hear that. I can't stand it. I just want to go to the Isle of Ubladi where they make their houses out of scotch tape and clarinet reeds and like that and just... You know, I don't want none of this. Lord, why me? Huh? You're not of this world, but you're in it. God came, and he sat with sinners. His best friends were whores, tax collectors. Huh? Drunks, fishermen, rough people. Ignorant, unlearned. Huh? And here's the Pharisees. They had their little gowns on, 3/16 of an inch below the, just above the ground. So when they walked, everything just flowed. And they knew everything. They knew every law. They knew laws on top of laws on top of laws on top of laws on top of laws. But they also knew how to break the law to get around it. Now let's see. You can't physically pull that cow out of the ditch on Sunday. You can't pull. Well, let's kick him out then. Didn't say anything about kicking. All together now! Kick! You know what? You'll always find a way around it, won't you? To do our own scam. Well, yeah, I was at work, and Lord, I sweared, but hey. I have a right. I had a right. Did you see the way they treated me? You know, a lot of times, a lot of unsaved people act better than the self-righteous Christian does. Why? Because they live and let live. And they could care less. See, what's wrong a lot of times with us, we could care less, but we try to act like we do care more. How are you, Sister So-and-so? Oh, I heard you were ill. Oh. Well, you look great now, you liar. The person's got bags under their eyes. They're all gray. All their hair fell out. Well, you're looking a picture of health now, isn't she? And you get out in your car. Man, didn't she look dragged out? Whew, man. Something, ain't it? Come on. Okay. Oh, I like to have a school, a teaching. You know what I mean? And the name of the teaching would be Realistic. The Realistic Explosion. You know what I'd have? Huh? I'd have a great big bomb in the middle of the floor with a fuse about that long. Now I'm going to light this fuse on this big bomb. There. And this bomb fills up the whole center of the auditorium. All right, everybody, get up and claim that bomb ain't going to go off. Where'd they all go? They went out the door. See, you got to make people to be realistic. You gotta put the shovel in their hand. Well, claim this mountain be removed. I am. By you, here's a shovel. Start moving it out of here. That's realistic, isn't it? And so let me lock this up now. It's all by faith, isn't it? It says in the Bible, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. By faith, Noah built an ark. By faith, Abraham went out into a place that should afterwards be received. He said, oh, afterwards you'll be received. Go out by faith. Go out into the desert. And by faith he did. By faith, Sarah had Isaac. By faith, Abraham offered up Isaac. By faith, Moses gave up the wealth of Egypt. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of departure of the children of Israel. By faith. By faith, the Red Sea opened up. By faith, the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. By faith, Rahab was saved, and Samson and David, and so on. By faith. And then there's others mentioned in the scriptures that have done something and yet God has not saved them. Even in the Bible, men have humbled themselves and yet they were not saved. Ahab did, and yet his sins were not forgiven. Men repented and were not saved because it was a wrong repentance. Judas repented. Went out and hung himself and was not saved. Why? Because, see, they were never pleasing to God. They had no faith. Oh, you can talk about it. See, faith is a stooping, the Bible says, a stooping, a bending down grace. And see, and nothing can make a man stoop without the grace of God. You cannot stoop. You cannot bend down. See, you can't even have faith. And so without bending down, your sacrifice isn't even accepted. The angels know it. They said when they praise God, they veil their faces. The redeemed know it. When they praise God, they cast their crowns before his feet. And so a man who has not faith proves he can't stoop for his... For he reasons this, well, I'm good enough. I don't have to bend down and bow down before nobody. Too proud to believe. And so he won't yield, see, because he's got too much intellect. We even got people to tell God how to save with sort of a conditional love and mercy and forgiveness. How many know that God gives you unconditional love? I think you people listening on the radio, some of you ought to check out your faith, conditional salvation faith. Too proud to stoop down. So So now I'm saying here, it's not by works that we're saved either. Get faith first. Go ahead and get your faith and then start to work. Don't get proud of your dirty, torn workalls and work shirts and stained by your own sweat. I asked a guy that. He called on the radio and, you know, he was all worked up about a message. I said, do you go to work before you even apply for the job? Or before you hear the conditions? Or before that you're put on the payroll? Do you walk up and say, hey, I picked fruit all month and I want my pay? Well, I say, well, who asked you? Well, all my brothers and sisters are here. They're all here. You know all them. I belong to them. Well, I didn't hire you. Who are you? No, you should have came to me first and asked me. You don't ask somebody else. I didn't ask you to come out here and do all this work. You weren't hired. And it's the same way with people that get into works without receiving Jesus. First you get the job. First you go to the owner of the orchard or field, and you get on the payroll, and you say, yes, I want to come under your authority, and I believe that you're going to be a good boss, and I want to go to work for you. Well, why are you coming here? Well, I really want to get involved here, and I want to work for you, Lord. Okay, well, go ahead. Your rewards are in heaven. You're hired. You're a hireling. Did you hear that, works people? See, the works come after you receive Jesus Christ. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. He is the one that gives you the orders. And so, listening out there, I want to make this very clear. If you're not born again, and I think, oh, we need to preach this message. So many people out there. So many people come to me and they say, boy, if anybody ever goes to heaven, look it out here. Look what you're doing. I say, it hasn't got nothing to do with what we do or don't do. It's just that the love of God, the grace of God, has made us willing to do this thing. Willing to do it. If I don't do it, brother, I lose my peace. My incentive is that I want God to bless me. And if I don't obey God, I won't be blessed and I'll lose my peace. I was talking to a man at the bread run, trying in my way to minister the gospel message to him. I said, brother, you got to grab a hold. Oh, I've always been good. I've always went to church and so on like that. I said, well, let's just say that you were just above the Niagara Falls here. And your boat, and you and your friend, and your boat got swamped, and you started to go downstream. You grabbed a hold of the log, see? And you were all right for a while because you were on the log, but it was headed towards a downfall, headed towards hell, let's see. And your friend, someone from shore, threw out a lifeline and he grabbed a hold of that lifeline. See, I says it's a grabbing a hold of the life. It's the connection. And I'm not talking about the French connection. I'm talking about the connection, Jesus Christ. You have to grab a hold of that life so you can grab a hold of something that'll be a temporary saving for you. But the end there, the end is death, the Bible says. No, I think we need to minister to and close with this to the fair weather Christian. You're missing the boat. Get aboard and ride out the storms of persecution, of name calling. Did you ever have somebody call you a name in a nice way? They'll use scripture and call you a name. I read where so-and-so did this and so-and-so and such. And the Lord spoke to me through that scripture. Well, brother, maybe that scripture, when you read the scripture, it's for you. Did you apply this to yourself? No, get aboard the boat of name-calling, of trials, and lash yourself to the ship. Did you ever, you know, I mean, this is a storm. Lash yourself. Listen on the radio. Lash yourself. Tie yourself to the ship. Tie yourself to it. Take all the name-calling and slander and everything that's going to happen to Christians in the end and lash yourself to the ship. No, get involved. Get aboard. And so, you that aren't saved, call on the Lord Jesus Christ. Call upon His name. And know that, oh yeah, hey, there's a perfect peace that passes all understanding. There's a God that will never, ever, ever, ever let you go. There is eternal salvation out there. There is a wonderful God out there that will bless you as you just go ahead and obey Him, and the blessings come right in the middle of a trial and fire and whatever else, but you are blessed and you have peace. Oh, hey, I can't explain to you. You know, I mean, it's a wonderful flooding of peace that comes in. It's one of the begets. Loving the Lord and obeying the Lord begets you peace and power in the Holy Ghost. That is so wonderful. Have you heard this message tonight? Hey.
There you have it. That was the conclusion to episode 217. That was part two to You've Got to Have Faith. If you missed part one, go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts. You're also going to find the show notes to each episode, and within those show notes are scripture links that Pastor Paul uses within his message. So be sure to check those out. And join us every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two, and be sure to join us on Thursday for what I call the Twitter Rumble. If you haven't joined the Twitter Rumble, you need to do that. The hashtag is LiveTweetsInside. When I'm listening to Pastor Paul's message, as I record the message and digitize it, I am doing live tweets, and it's usually on Thursday. So you can always join me, get ready to listen in for the Twitter Rumble. In fact, if you want to do your own Twitter Rumble, do the hashtag LiveTweetsInside, and I will check those out. So thanks for joining the podcast. Be sure to be back here every Friday, every Sunday for part one and part two. Next Friday, pray and see. God bless you. Have a great week.
Your name.